Doris is under strict instructions not to drop me anywhere unsavory, a rule that's evolved into an ironclad list of acceptable eating establishments of which I may partake. The closest to my destination is the Terrace Garden, which is not all bad, because the doorman has a crush on me and always makes a big show of welcoming me in. Satisfied at a job well done, Morris motors his way back home, leaving me to get on with business. It's a 6-block stroll to the apartment, which I cover in under 10 minutes. No thanks to my positively Victorian shoes. I'm almost certainly the only 20-year-old girl in Chicago wearing flats designed for Lincoln's grandmother. Painful and embarrassing. Quite the combination. I find the place on the 5th floor, behind a door with flaking white paint and a handle that's seen the wrong end of a screwdriver. I give 3 sharp knocks and wait until I'm greeted by an elderly woman with a nose like a steam train and Kohlish eyes to match. One of them's bruised, and her lip is split. She regards me in the way most people do, tentative admiration. "Mrs. Kaminsky," I say, holding out my hand smartly. "I'm Lenny Carson, Mr. Parker's stenographer. I'm here about the brooch. May I come in?" She takes my hand, shakes it lightly, confused, I can tell.
Mr. Parker?
She asks, not unfairly. I have shown up unannounced. Mr. Parker has taken a keen interest in your case, Mrs. Kaminsky, I said, letting myself in. A keen interest. I'm to gather the relevant information and deliver it to him so he can do... For this, I twirl my finger in the air like the maitre d' summoning a freckled-faced boy. The things he does best. May I sit? I sit anyway, on a chair with worn wooden arms and a plush floral print that would be right at home in Aunt Penelope's worst nightmares. Mrs. Kaminsky sits across from me, on a dining room chair, wringing her hands, knobby bones wrapped in onion skin. She's trying to make sense of me. Who is this girl? And why is she here? Well, about the brooch, obviously, because I led with that. Sent by Mr. Parker, of whom she, rightly, knows nothing. Now, what can she infer about Mr. Parker without seeming a dullard? He's obviously too busy to attend minor burglaries himself, so he sends pretty young girls with important-sounding jobs to break the ice. Stenographer, what's that again? As you're aware, Mr. Parker's up to speed on the contours of the case, I say, but he's looking for particulars, things that stand out, details others would miss.
And you are here to do that? I do not know what else I can...
It's a family heirloom, isn't it? I ask, slipping a pencil and notepad out of my purse. Mrs. Kaminsky looks surprised. But of course it's an heirloom. Nobody in a building like this has a brooch worth stealing, except if they've had it a long time already.
It is from my husband's great-great-grandmother, she says. She commissioned it from the finest jeweler in Poznan. His family crest, with dagger and rubies all around. Very beautiful.
Daggers and rubies. Mrs. Kaminsky and I have very different ideas of beautiful. How much is it worth, do you figure? I ask. She flusters. Money's a touchy subject to her.
I am not sure, she says,
like she's apologizing.
Many thousands of dollars?
I'm going to put down priceless, I say, but don't. Someone hit you pretty hard stealing it. Did you see who it was? Seem familiar at all? She shakes her head, but not like she's hiding something. Like she's ashamed she can't be more useful.
They wore a mask, she stammers. It was dark, and I cannot...
I make a mark across the page to break the tension. Have any enemies, Mrs. Kaminsky? Your husband have any enemies? She shakes her head.
No. My husband, God rest him, was good man. Everybody loved him. His funeral was so full, church overflowed.
And you?
I am nobody,
she says, wringing those bones again.
Only my sons visit me now.
Nobody knows me enough to hate me. Nobody I know would do this.
She touches her bruised cheek lightly.
Who knew about the brooch besides you and your sons? I ask, ready to write.
My sons did not know,
says Mrs. Kaminsky, and I'll admit it. I'm surprised.
Was always hidden, always away. Could not take chances on both from Poland. My sons, we were waiting for one of them to marry,
to give to their bride as present, but now...
And you never even told them it existed? I ask. Parents and uncles are all the same, aren't they? Do they get special training to act like this?
Henrik, my oldest, she says, speaking quietly now. He has problem with drink. We are very careful to... I mean...
No, no, I say, waving it off. Say no more. If Henrik likes his booze, in this town, he's rubbing shoulders with the wrong kinds of people. Smart lady, this Mrs. Kaminsky, keeping Henrik in the dark. Savvy and sharp. She's the kind of lady I'd like to be someday, when I'm much, much, much older. I pretend to jot down some more notes and scoot out the door. I have just enough time for a light lunch and tea before Morris loops back to fetch me. In my notebook, I've written Henrik Kaminsky dozens of times, in dozens of ways. The life of an investigator can be truly exhausting.